And as we go through the Bible, it's a fascinating book. I enjoy teaching it and preaching out of it and reading it. But a door is an entrance. And when you come to a house or an office where you work and so on, you don't try to climb through a window and you can't walk through the walls. You find the door and then you enter in through it. And Jesus, the Bible teaches, is the door to salvation, the door to heaven. There's no other way. Look in John chapter 10, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door of the shepherd of the is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." You know, let me stop here. He calleth his own sheep by name. The Lord refers to himself. He's the door of the sheepfold. He is the good shepherd, we're going to read. John 14, "I am the good shepherd. Know my sheep, and have known of mine." He knows his sheep. Here, as we read, he calleth his sheep by name. You know what? God knows who's if you're saved this morning or not. Amen? He knows you. "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you today, and we thank you for each and every one that's here today. And I know, Lord, we've got some folks that are sick today. We just pray your healing hand upon them. But open our hearts and minds to your word. And Father, as I teach and preach this morning, I pray, Father, that you would work through me and for the power of the Holy Spirit, because, Father, I always realize how inadequate I am and how great you are. In Jesus' name, amen. I was thinking about the door. You know, Jesus Christ is the door. I don't know why. I hadn't thought about this in years, but when I was growing up in Detroit, I had went to Eastern Michigan University. I was coming home. Going to kind of surprise my folks and come home for a day. It was a Friday or something. We didn't have class. And so I get home and I didn't have my door key. My folks always hid a door key somewhere. You ever hide a door key somewhere just in case, you know? And so the key wasn't there. So I go around the side of the house where we usually had a window sash that wasn't locked, and we had a combination of the old aluminum storm and spring. It was about 3 feet between us and the fence to the house next door, and their house was set back. I couldn't find the key. I didn't have my key, so I go around, and I'm trying to get that screen open, and then the screen, and then there was a combination storm door, or storm window, rather, and then we had never locked that sash. So I'm in there, I'm playing with it, and finally I get the screen. And then I'm working on the window, and finally, after about 10 or so minutes altogether, I'm there about 15 or so minutes. Just as I raise that, and I raise the sash, I go to climb in, and I feel a hand on my back. It was Officer Friendly. And the neighbors had seen someone over there trying to get in the house, and so they had called the police. And he said, you're startled. And I said, "But sir, I live here." He said, "If you live here, why are you climbing through the window?" And then my neighbor came out. He was a French-Canadian, Mr. Lemieux. He came out, and he goes, and it was his accent, and he called me by name. And I still had to show my ID to Officer Friendly. But it's just not considered appropriate to try to climb into your house through the window. And so anyway, I don't know why I thought of that, but you know, you're supposed to go through the door. Jesus said, "I'm the door." And he's the only way and the only means by which sinners have access to God and can obtain salvation. That's a wonderful thing, is it not? The Bible said, Jesus said, "I am the door." John chapter 10 and verse 7. Jesus said unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." He's the only door by which sinners can enter into salvation by grace. And there's no possible way to access God by an unsaved person. The only way we're going to get saved is by Jesus Christ. Amen? That's where salvation comes in. That's why Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. That's why he shed his blood. That's why he gave his life in your place and my place, that we might have our sins forgiven by believing in him and receiving him. There's no other way of entering the house but by the door. And in the same manner, anyone who comes to God must come through Jesus Christ. And the way of faith, the way of holy obedience. You know, the wonderful thing when we come through the door, that's Jesus Christ. And we come to him and receive him as Savior and ask for forgiveness of sin. Isn't it wonderful that when we ask for forgiveness, he forgives? Amen? Amen. But then as I was studying this out, it puts us into a secure condition with eternal salvation. Wonderful to know, as the Bible teaches, that when we get saved, God keeps us saved. Amen? I don't have to worry about if I get saved or lose it. And we all make mistakes. We're human. We're frail. Back in the Psalms, it said God remembers our frame. He knows that we are dust. He knows what we're made of. There's never an excuse to live wrong, but I always think there in 1 John, where it tells us, it's written to Christians, that if we sin, it said we do sin. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. God is in the forgiving business. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad that He is. But let's go on down to verse 8. John chapter 10, verse 7. Jesus is the door. Verse number 8. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Man may try to get salvation by himself. There's a lot of things out there that people are trying to get to heaven some other way. They might try to go by Muhammad or Buddha or by their own good works or by their baptism or something else, but that won't work. Verse 8, it said, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Anyone other than Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is a thief and a robber. Go on down to verse 10. What does it say about the thief? The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief comes to steal means he comes to plunder. What does the thief do when he comes to your house? He tries to steal something, whether he's coming through a window, whether he's trying to get through a roof, through a heating vent or anything, but he comes for no good reason. But they break in because they want to steal something, right? And they go in, and whether they want to take your stereo or they want to take your money or whatever they're trying to do, they're in there to steal. And the Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill. He takes what he can from the sheep while the shepherd gives and loves and protects the sheep. The thief comes to kill. That means he comes to sacrifice the sheep. He comes to slaughter for any purpose. There's a lot of false prophets and false teachers out there. They're there not to build up the sheep, not to help the sheep, but to ruin the sheep. The thief comes to destroy. That word means to lose or to mar, to injure. False teachers have a what's in it for me attitude. But Jesus came to give believers a more abundant life. The thief comes. The false prophet, the thief, the false teacher and so on, he comes to steal, to plunder, to kill. He wants to injure, he wants to destroy, he wants to harm you. But Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Isn't there a wonderful thing in Jesus Christ? And he tells us about the thief, but Jesus came to give life, eternal life, spiritual life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And so false teachers, in Matthew 24, or Matthew, he talks about false teachers too. Look over in John 14, 6 for a moment. John chapter 14 and verse number 6. Jesus came to give believers a more abundant life. He not only came to save us to give eternal life, but a more abundant life as we live our life for the Lord Jesus Christ. But John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The way to God the Father is through Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. He is the way. And go over to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 8. You know, you might run into people that they've got a good philosophy. They've got good ideas. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 8. Notice what Paul wrote to the local New Testament church at Colossae. He said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You see, others might have a good philosophy, but only Jesus can save a soul. And only God can forgive sin. Amen.
Amen.
Who else can forgive you of your sin but the Lord? He's in the forgiving business. Only God can save a soul through Jesus Christ. And then He gives life. Look over back in John chapter 10 and verse 10. So beware. And he talks about the false philosophies, the philosophies of this world. There's been a lot of philosophers down through the ages. But there's only been one Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. The one who loves us and cares for us and died for our sins on the cross. But look in John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Life's eternal life, yes, it's salvation, but then he says a more abundant life. That's beyond measure. Look in Romans 5:20. As a Christian, we don't have to have a life of defeat. We put our faith and trust in the Lord not only to save us. Yes, He keeps us saved, but you know what? As we pray, as we talk to God, as we serve. But a more abundant life. Look at Romans 5 and verse 20. I always say I like this verse. This one many years ago, when I read that, it really lifted up my soul and spirit. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Let me stop. That's why we have the law, to teach us that we're sinners. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Isn't that fantastic? Amen? You know what he's saying? God has more grace than there is sin in this world. But where? But where? Sin abounded. Grace did much more abound. It doesn't matter who a person is, where they come from, what they did, what they haven't done. The grace of God is so rich, so great, so deep, so pure, that it can save anyone who comes to Him by faith. Amen?
Amen.
That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And go on down and look in verse number 21. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The law enters. It tells us that we sin. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there's hope. There's hope for anybody. I was witnessing to someone yesterday, and the young man had told me how he'd been in the county jail, how he'd been in prison and went to Bible studies and stuff. And as we talked, I shared with him that verse, the grace of God. Doesn't matter where a person's been. Sometimes people wonder, could God really love me? I've done this, that, and the other, and they'll share things that they've done in their life. But could God love me? Yes, He does. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He died for sinners. Amen. He paid the price. Yeah, we can say, well, a person stole or robbed, they did this, that, and the other, and there's a lot of vile things. I've had people say to me over the years, preacher, don't waste your time with so-and-so, there's no hope for them. I said, no, there's hope for anybody, amen? But you know what? It doesn't have to be what we think of vile things, sin that's in the Bible. It said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. James chapter, I think it's 4, verse 17, said, if a man knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sin is not only lack of faith. Sin is failing to do what we know to be right. But the Bible says we've all sinned. But God has more grace than there is sin in this world. Well, let's go back to our text here. He gives life, eternal salvation, more abundant life. And here, as we read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 20, it's a surplus. It overflows. There's more grace than there is sin. And that word abundant, look over here in John 10:10. The last middle of the verse, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That word abundant denotes that which is not absolutely essential to life, but it's super added to make it happy, make it more abundantly, the abundant life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That are things that you can go through life and people, unsaved people can go through life. But He's talking here to the saved person. I will give you an abundant life. You can live your life without an abundant life, but it's added. The Lord said, I'll give you an abundant life that they might have it more abundantly. And that's there to help believers, to encourage us, to make life happy. You see, we'll not merely just have life, not just a simple, bare existence, but shall have all the super things added which are needful to make that life eminently blessed and happy. He didn't say we'd be millionaires. That's not what He's saying. I think of the peace of God that passes all understanding and that keeps our hearts and life through Christ Jesus. I think of the God who said, in the God of His Bible, who said, I'll supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And there are needs that we have in our life, whether it can be spiritual needs, whether it's material needs, whether it's emotional needs, whether it's financial needs, whatever that need is, go to God believing and pray and ask. He said, I'll supply all your needs. Have you ever had sometimes you're struggling with something? I don't know what you do. Here's what I do. And I go to God and I pray. And I remind God of His promises. God, You promised to supply my need. And I'll share what I believe those needs are. And God, somehow, some way, supply that need. I learned a long time ago, you never tell God how to supply your need. I used to do that. I bet some of you have too. God, this is what I want You to do. I think God sometimes steps back and goes, hey, wait a minute. Now, He has such a wonderful way of supplying our needs in such fantastic ways that we don't even know about. But He promised abundant life for us. And I've seen God answer so many wonderful, wonderful prayers. But it would be God's mercy in a vast sense that would keep a person out of hell. But Jesus gives believers abundance of grace, abundance of peace, abundance of joy, abundance of life, and abundance of love, and blessings and salvation. He's the door. Anybody wants to get to heaven? They've got to go by Jesus Christ. Sometimes I run into people that think, well, I'm going to do good. Go over for a moment to the book of Romans. Let's just look at a couple things. Look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 28. I run into more and more people. I say, how do you believe you get to heaven? Well, you do good. Well, we ought to do good. But if just the mere act of doing good without accepting Christ as our Savior, if it's just doing good, why Jesus died on the cross? He said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, a teacher. He taught in the synagogue. Jesus said to this good man, you must be born again, or you'll not see the kingdom of God. Look in Romans 3:28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds, or that's the works of the law. We're justified, saved by faith. Look over to the book of Romans chapter, I think it's chapter 11. Yes, chapter 11 and verse 6. Talking about grace. Some people believe I'm saved by grace, but I have to do good works to keep it. And He said in Romans 11:6, and if by grace, then it's no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. He said, you know, you can't mix the two together. And we're saved by grace. And you cannot intermix works to keep you saved and to stay saved. I'll look at one last one here before we move on. Look in the book of Galatians for just a moment. Find the book of Galatians chapter 3. See, the Christians at the churches of Galatia were having a struggle with that. Just like many people do today. And he said in Galatians chapter 3 verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Then he said in verse 2 of Galatians 3, this only would I learn of you. Then he asked a question, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law of the hearing of faith. How did you get saved? By keeping the law, your good works, or was it by faith? Are you so foolish having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect in the flesh? He said, are you so foolish that by the Spirit you were saved by grace of the Holy Spirit? The Bible said when we're saved, He indwells us and He seals us. He said, are you now made perfect here? Are you now made perfect by the flesh or by works? There's a lot of people who say, I'm saved by grace, but I got to work to keep it. We ought to do good deeds. We ought to do what's right. But that doesn't keep us saved. It doesn't save us. Salvation is by Jesus Christ. He's the door, John chapter 10. And then look in Acts 4:12. I'm so thankful that we have in the Bible where it shares with us the Word of God that we can know we're saved, that we can be sure we're saved. The Bible said the Lord gives us a more abundant life, and I've not really touched on that much today. But look in Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. That's Jesus Christ. And you know what? You and I meet people who are morally clean, nice folks, honest folks, decent folks. But in order to go to heaven, they must go through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door. They may be religious, as I said, like Nicodemus in John 3, but he still had to go through Jesus in order to be saved. But you know what? It's a wonderful, great thing to be saved and to share the door to heaven, Jesus Christ, with others. And you know, as Christians, we need to share Christ with others, do we not? Amen. And tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's the door. I've run into many people over the years who said, well, preacher, I've got my neighbor, I've got a relative, I've got a co-worker. But they're such nice people. And I don't know if I had a witness to them because they're such nice people. Nice people need to be saved too. Everybody needs Jesus Christ. You can say, well, they believe in God. The Bible said the devil believes in God, but he fears and trembles. That's why Jesus said, I'm the door. The way to God is through Jesus Christ, the door. I'm so thankful that He died on the cross for my sins and for your sins. And when we live our lives, and I always go back to the scripture in 1 John, it says you can know you have eternal life. I hate to go through life thinking I'm saved, hoping I'm saved, worrying if I'm saved or not. The Bible said you can know you have eternal life. I mean, people who struggle with that from time to time. Maybe you've met folks who struggle with that. But when we go through the door, Jesus Christ, we trust in Him as our Savior. And He saves us, forgives us of our sins. He keeps us saved. It's in the book of Jude, He keeps us from falling. In John 10, He holds us in His hand secure. And nobody can pluck us out. We have a wonderful God, do we not? Amen? Jesus Christ says, I'm the door. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You want to enter into heaven, you go through the door, and the door is Jesus Christ. When you came into this building today, you entered into one of the doors, perhaps this door or the side door, and when you leave, you'll go out a door. I didn't see anybody come through the walls. I didn't see anybody drop through the ceiling. I didn't see anybody bust the window out and climb through. The Bible said those are thieves and robbers. But you come through the door. He uses examples that we could understand, and if we're going to get to heaven, we've got to go through Jesus Christ. If you're saved this morning, it's a wonderful thing, amen? But to share with others the way to heaven is Jesus Christ. And He tells us as Christians that we can have life and have it more abundantly than anyone else other than Jesus Christ, He said, is a thief and a robber. And that thief and robber comes to kill, to destroy, to ruin, to plunder, to harm. But the good shepherd, God loves us and He cares for us and He doesn't harm us. He doesn't steal from us. He doesn't plunder. He doesn't hurt us. He talks about the thief. Look at verse 12 of John 10. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd whose own the sheep Are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. It's a wonderful thing to know God, is to know the Lord loves us, that God loves us, and to know that Jesus Christ cares for us, that he's the good shepherd, that he saves us, he loves us, he keeps us safe, he's the door. When you meet people this week and they're not saved, and you're not sure they're saved, and don't ever take it for granted that someone's saved just because they're nice folks. Share Christ with people. Tell them about the love of God, that Jesus died for them on the cross, and he'll save anybody who comes to him by faith. Let's bow our heads this morning.